The following is a rebroadcast of the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, live on location at the 2019 Hillside Festival from Guelph Lake Island, which took place on Sunday, July 14th.
Greetings, I present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on cfru.ca. I'm your master overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond progressive rock, the branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative genres, and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Greetings and welcome to a special broadcast of the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. We are broadcasting live on location from the Hillside Festival 2019 incarnation on Guelph Lake Island. This is the Sunday, the final day of the festival. It's been quite an extraordinary experience and good weather we've had today. This is a secret scope broadcast of the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, usually broadcasting Mondays from 3 to 5 p.m. Today, almost the same time, we're going to be broadcasting from 3 to 4:30. In this special extraneous attachment of this program, we're going to be listening to constellatory selection of music from Hillside featured artists from this year, some other kaleidoscopic tracks that I usually play on the show, and in between I hope to be bringing on some special Hillside artists to interview for a couple minutes to, it's going to be quite a great time here. The first song we just heard was from one of the Hillside artists who performed yesterday, Quantum Tangle, and that was the song called Ikusek from their 2017 album Shelter As We Go. They performed yesterday on the main stage, and they were amazing, talking about and singing about different stories of their culture, and that leads actually into what this year's Hillside Festival, the main theme of it, is all about. It's called Our Stories That Need to Be Told. A lot of the artists and a lot of people have their own personal stories to tell, and they are all worthy and different and distinct, and it's always interesting to hear the stories and how we relate and how we differ. And being able to interview some artists is a great way to, I guess I didn't realize it when I was reaching out to the artists that will be coming on, that we will be hearing their stories and describe why they create music and all that good stuff. Why don't we now continue on with some music as we continue on with the SMK broadcast, and waiting for our first artist to wander along. Up next I have up. I would like to play an artist that will be playing later on today. Is a Turkish psychedelic folk band from Amsterdam called Elton Gun. I have my trusty program here. They will be playing today at 5:40 at the Island Stage, presented by Exclaim Magazine. They just released a new album. I believe it's their second album, called Geki. I hope that's pronounced right. And the song we'll be playing from that album is They Dene by Elton Gun, here on CFRU 93.3 FM, The Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. We'll be right back. That again was Elton Gunn with Vai Danay. Off the new album Geki on ATO Records, they will be performing later today at the Island Stage at 5:40. You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM, The Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, and we have our first musical guest on right here. Joyful, joyful. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Why don't you introduce yourselves?
My name is Cormac, and I am one half of Joyful, Joyful. Go ahead.
I'm Dave, and I'm the other half of Joyful, Joyful. I'm the button pusher. I'm the feedbacker. I am the speaker turner downer, just slightly, for the moment. There we go. No feedback now. Less of a broadcast into the room, but less feedback into the, I'll turn that back on when these mics will go down.
Sounds like a good plan.
You just witnessed is basically our roles in the band.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, competent feedback wrangler, and I'm a vocalist.
Yeah, I'm very glad to have you guys on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope.
Truly a pleasure to be here.
Why don't you guys talk a little bit about yourselves and what, I guess, how you guys met?
Sure, yeah. We're both Cormac's from Peterborough, and I moved to Peterborough back in 2005, and We both were involved in the community radio station there, CFFF Torrent Radio, an excellent community radio station to this day. And we had shows. There were kind of the program director there, I think, probably suggested that we meet each other because we were doing things that were sympathetic.
Yes, they were sympathetic, and also at the time I also just hung around the radio station a lot, so I liked Dave's show, and because I was listening to it at the station, I had a faster opportunity to encounter the producer.
Yeah. Nice. I think community radio is a great place to meet people and like-minded people and people who really care about the community building.
Yeah, I think more than like-minded, more like like-hearted. Not that everyone is thinking the same thing or that has the same goals, but that there is an openness of some kind and a commitment to community in another way. And I think that, yeah. So.
Yeah, then after you guys met there, how did Joyful collate together?
That was a long process. So
years, yeah, many years later.
Many years. We threatened to be in a band for quite some time without actually doing that, which was fine. So Dave was in a band that I liked very much, that was sort of, I don't know, how would you explain your previous band?
Yeah, it was just a three-piece band of weirdos.
Yes.
So weirdo three-piece.
Yeah, so, and then I had a sort of sprawling five-person folk weirdo piece of band.
And there was nothing weird about it.
It was weird.
No, anyway.
We disagree.
It was magnificent, truly magnificent. If you've seen Cormac perform in Joyful, every other band that Cormac has performed with, their performance has been equally moving. And just as deep and touching as, yeah, they have an uncanny and deep stage presence. And
thanks. Yeah, so I certainly have always liked Dave's music, and so we wanted to be potentially in a band together. And one day, I just booked, a friend of mine was making live off the floor music videos that weekend. He was offering to do it for some very cheap thing, and I said, Dave, we're doing this tomorrow. So I came to Dave's house and we wrote a short set. We wrote a song.
A long song, yeah.
A 10-minute piece, and that was the beginning of Joyful.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
That's the piece that's available on the internet. It is the only thing video that we have, actually, and it is of our first day as a band.
Oh, really? I think I did see that video. Like, it's on YouTube, right?
It is on YouTube.
Yeah. You had your main set yesterday, and that was my first time seeing you guys. And I've heard lots of great things about you guys, Joyful, and it lives up to that the praise.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm glad that you think so.
Yeah, I'm also, I like the alternative and like avant-garde, mm-hmm, like scenes. I'm actually trying to get up a solo project of my own. I play bass clarinet.
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
I love bass clarinet so much.
Oh, it's beautiful. Nice.
And so I'm going under the name Piers Olvi.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And I'm adding effect pedals to my playing.
Heck yes.
As one should.
Great.
Yeah, so
I'm at your show. I'm at it right now. I'm very excited. It's going
to
be great.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. And like, I'm doing experimental stuff as well with that. Like, and so I really like connect with your stuff and the just the range of textures, and especially drone, I guess, that, or Joyful, mm-hmm, Joyful is like known for the drone. Drone-ish
loves
music.
The drone.
We do love. I love drone, and
I would only make drone music if Cormac was not in a band with me.
Yeah.
Which is not a threat. That it's a good thing that I'm not just holding one note alone at home forever. But
yeah, but sometimes that is also things that happen at home. Come home and it's like, oh, there's just one or two notes endlessly looping. It's like, oh, yeah. Dave's home. It's nice.
So yeah, I understand.
I guess there's a few like styles that you mix in with drone.
Absolutely.
Because I believe. I think I've read a bit about you guys, and so it's Cormac. I think you have bring in like a spiritual chorale vocals. Can we maybe want to talk more about that?
Absolutely, and I think it's not even necessarily that those are styles that are adding to the drone. It's that those are styles that incorporate and have always had drone elements to them. So that makes it works. It's the same as Irish traditional music, Appalachian folk music, and a lot of sacred choral music incorporates drones, and all of those traditions are quite meaningful to me and very moving to me. So I really like folk and vocal music, voice-based music, so it's nice to be able to bring those things in a way that sort of, you know, we get just in one spot without having to be faithful to any one particular tradition.
Do you like to, or I guess do you feel comfortable being able to mix those influences then, like folk and spiritual on top of like your, like the electronic drones?
Yeah.
It comes together, I think.
Yeah, I think all those things live inside me and live inside us. So it's not, I don't feel like I'm, you know, creating, you know, busy creating a sort of like a weird hybrid or a bizarre casserole. I'm not sitting there being like, okay, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's just kind of, if I'm singing from my heart, those are the kinds of things that I would like to sing. And so that comes out, I think, fairly naturally.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, we're not having discussions about style when we're writing.
No, never.
So it just comes out naturally and through collaborating with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say that some of that is just we both have an affinity for experimental ambient drone and noise music, and no fear around things heading into the strange or atonal or challenging sound spaces. But also, I have a lot of love for folk music, and folk music is very singable, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love all that. I like all that. How through the songs that you make, do you? I think, well, because you said it was folk, you have a lot of, you tell a lot of stories through your songs. What kind of stories do you guys lean towards?
That's an interesting question.
I think it's a range.
It is a range.
I don't know if they're. I mean, stories about people in relationships in a way, either on a small but often on a larger scale, maybe?
Yeah,
what do you think of that?
I think that that's a reasonable answer. Initially, I wanted to sort of reach into something that was a little bit beyond time. So, some of our songs are about saints, just because I thought it would be. There's so many strange legends, and there's so much mythology around saints, and I was like, that will be a essentially bottomless well.
It is, yeah.
So a couple of songs we have written about that, but also we've written about our times and heartbreak and any number of other things. You know, I think that it feels urgent, and I think maybe that's the more that's the common thread. It's not that there's a common narrative, it's that we're trying to make music for people that is meaningful and is for right now. And I think that and I mean, I don't know, humans are a storytelling animal. I don't know any other way to write a song, so yeah.
How do you guys, or what is your actual, like, musical setup? Because I've, like, seen you guys a think, Dave, you almost like control everything, like in the background and
very much.
Yeah, Kamek, you or Karmic, sorry. You just focus on your singing.
Yeah, absolutely. Our setup is I have currently a 16-channel mixing board, and I have a pedal board full of effects, and I have a sampler and a small piano, and so I'm just kind of triggering samples, generally kind of drones for the songs that have drones, and some melodic stuff for some of the melodic songs, and then am processing those samples as well as Cormac's voice through kind of the 13 or 15 different effects that I have running, and not all of them at the same time, of course, but
there's chains of them.
Yeah, just running the signals that I have, which are Cormac's voice and the sampler through effects, and building these soundscapes and these worlds from that, and from the way that Cormac's voice plays into and against and with the other stuff that we're working with.
Yeah, when we're writing, I think we're very much in conversation with one another about how things are sounding and how it is that we want to build that world. But you're right, when we're performing, Dave is doing something very, very technical, and I am doing something that's certainly performative and relational in a different way.
What I'm doing is not relational. Yeah.
I guess not a lot of people.
I mean, other than in relation to Cormac, but that's not a performative kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to say there? Sorry?
I was going to say, like, not a lot of people would know all the technical stuff.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I'm still actually experimenting with my effect pedals, so because, well, traditionally, bass clarinet does not mm-hmm. hook up into the electronics, and so...
And that tradition is flawed.
Yes.
That tradition is growing, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. It's funny. A lot of people come up... After our shows, a lot of people come up to me and talk to me about how they felt. And then there's always a small but very intense posse of people who come up to Dave and talk to him about how it is that he just did that. Which, you know... But
is that a rare occurrence, or
what? People talking to Dave,
yeah.
Or no?
Yeah.
People talk to Dave, I would say, at almost all of our shows. But I mean, it's not quite fair because you know there's hows to both of what we're doing, and there's heart to both of what we're doing too.
Yeah, yeah.
But people talk to me about their hearts. They talk to Dave about his
their
gear.
Gadgets. It's a modern problem.
Yeah. It's probably gendered too, let's be real.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did you feel about your main set and the workshop you had with Hymns 57 and Ellis this morning? That was, to jump in there, it was very influential on me. Maybe I'm going to try and do a drone piece of my own with bass clarinet.
Yeah
you are.
Yes, I am. what did you think of the whole Hillside experience?
Magnificent.
Yeah, this has been a really wonderful weekend.
Yeah, I just... if somehow... I mean, I'm surely some of the people listening to this haven't been to Hillside. There's... no reason not to volunteer next year if that's your way in, or you know, I was gonna say start a band. That's not how that works. But I think it's just such an incredible atmosphere. People here are just so committed to the festival and to the spirit of it in a way that is not quite being named by me right now, but that is just so evident by the way that people are carrying themselves and acting towards each other. And I think that is. It is not unique, but it is uncommon, and it is precious.
Yeah, I have been very moved by what I've seen here this weekend, and also been very cared for. I feel very cared for as a musician, and that's neat. That's not always the case in festivals. Sometimes you just show up and you're like, "Where am I? I'm hungry. I'd like a sandwich." And that's not been this. This is lovely, and. There's a lot of love and care here. A lot of, also, it's been nice to see so many friends.
Yeah, so many friends here.
So many friends. There's
I've been meeting some friends myself from Guelph.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a very nice year for me.
That's great. And
it's good to hear that Hillside has been agreeable with you guys.
Oh,
well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we'll find a way. We'll find a way back next year. If not on a stage, then behind it somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, volunteering is the greatest. Mm-hmm. In a good way. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to drive one of those gators around. There's just so many great golf cart kind of vehicles around, so.
It looks like my next interviewees are here, but before we leave, I want to thank you, Dave and Karmic, for coming on the SMK.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Is there any last words of wisdom before we depart?
I trust the next guest will have words of wisdom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Happy Hillside, that'll be ours.
Happy Hillside, and I can't wait to hear what you do with your electronics and your bass clarinet.
Yeah, I'm already, like, you know, we'll plan a tour, it'll be fine.
I would love that. Okay. I'll keep you up to date with that.
Please, yeah.
Please do, honestly.
Thanks.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, as we transition into our next band, we're going to be playing a song, if I can get my computer all set up. We're broadcasting live on air from the Hillside Festival 2019 on the Guelph Lake Island. Why don't we play a good friend of mine, Kitzel. I believe she played actually at Hillside Inside this past February. And so that's how she gets in. No, but she's a great artist, electronic artist from here in Guelph. She just released a new album, 40 Moons, that we know of. A fantastic constellatory album of different electronic pop and experimental tracks. I believe a good song for Hillside right now is the song Lumberwater. So here's Kitzel with Lumberwater here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at CFRU 93.3 FM.
Just say beginning.
Welcome back to the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, broadcasting on location from Hillside Festival 2019 through the CFRU 93.3 FM. That was Bonnie Trash with Meet and Greet and True Love Eat Me off their debut release, Ezzelini's Dead EP, released back in 2017. And it so happens that we have Bonnie Trash here. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah.
Yes, we have Emma.
Hi.
And Sarah.
Hello.
How are you guys feeling today?
I'm feeling really good, actually. We just finished playing our set on the island stage at 1, and it was a good time. I was surprised by the amount of people that were there and the feedback. It was great.
There's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the last day of Hillside, and I feel like, you know, people have been sort of maybe partying. There's a lot of sun, you know, for the past few days. So I was kind of expecting people to be like, yeah.
And like, hungover kind of, and like, doing like little golf claps.
Yeah, but tired eyes, but there was so much energy, so it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Excellent. And it was fun to play right before Ian Blurton, too. That was,
oh my gosh,
what a treat.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard of Ian. Where's he from, and what kind of music does he play?
This current project of Future Now, I'd say it's a sludge feast. using some nice 70s riffs, a Gibson SG, and a Flying V. So it's good and heavy.
Yeah, it's sort of a super group, the Ian Blurton's Future Now, featuring Ian Blurton and Erotic on bass, and Glenn Mikem from Blue Rodeo, and I'm forgetting the other guitarist.
Aaron
Goldstein. Amazing super group. Anyways, just pressing and pushing Ian Blurton's Future Now, because they were absolutely amazing.
If you're looking for a sludge feast, check out Ian Blurton's Future Now.
Excellent. But we're not here to talk about Ian. We're here to talk about you guys.
Cool.
Thank you.
So you guys are sisters, right?
We're twins.
All twins.
Yeah. Like, fraternal twins.
Excellent. How did Bonnie Trash come to be in existence?
Well, I came up with this sort of term called F pop. Oh, I'm so sorry, CFRU. I'm so sorry. I came up with this term called F pop, and I'm so sorry, by the way, CFRU.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. And censorship sucks. But so I came up with this term, and then I kind of was realizing, or sort of figuring out a band name for us based on this genre, which is kind of like a disruption to pop music. And Bonnie Trash just kind of came to mind, and I was listening to a Johnny Cash record, and I just thought it would be kind of interesting to think about sort of if Johnny Cash were a punk in 2019 and had a full band of women. So, yeah.
That was back in 2013, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so it's been a long development.
It has.
Yeah. I never really thought about that.
Hope that doesn't make you guys feel old.
Oh, I feel old every day. It's not. That's fine. Yeah.
So, what kind of music do you guys play? Like, I guess it's kind of interesting reading the description. It's like neo goth or something, or noir goth.
Oh yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I think we're right now. Our sound is kind of a post rock or a post punk with a goth flavor to it. I really don't know. In the end, it's all rock music, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I would say it's more sort of like goth, noir, avant rock.
Ooh.
In a sense. So, yeah, that's sort of what I'm going for these days. I hope that that's a good description.
I hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly like the avant rock part.
Okay.
It certainly fits the SMK.
Yes.
Yes. It totally
does. Or how did, like, what was the first incarnation of the band? Was it just you two? Because for your Hillside set, you had a drummer and another guitarist.
Yes.
Because Emma, you play guitar.
Yeah.
And Sarah, you sing and do, like, electronic.
Yes.
Drum pads.
Yeah.
So we started as a duo, and Sarah was playing drums. And then I think in 2013, we did a few shows here and there with a drummer named Patrick Rohde. And then it was back to Sarah.
I think only one.
One or two shows. But it was good. It was a good experiment. And in 2017, or maybe it was the summer of 2017, we brought Chris Warden aboard to play bass, basically, but he plays a bass 6, so it looks like a guitar, but he gathers all the low tones for it.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have Chris, and then with all the newer stuff that we were working on, we recruited Dan Paillet, who's also Guelphite, to do drums. And I don't know, the combination of having acoustic drums and electric drums, I think that adds a really nice texture. That's for sure. Because you have, like, such a punctuation with the electronic drums, and then your acoustic drums kind of bring the bellows out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a fuller sound, but also very, maybe, detailed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we will perform as duos if, really, if finances need be. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, actually, that brings up that you guys are a Guelph band.
Yes.
And have you guys lived in Guelph all your life?
we both moved to Toronto a couple years ago for, I guess, for academic purposes.
It's close to 10 and years ago.
Yeah, so, close to 10 years ago.
9 years ago.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Moved to Toronto a while ago, I guess, and went there for school and music, and then found ourselves in Montreal for a little bit with our old band, and then came back to Guelph. Because it's a great city, and we have a really great community and an amazing music community, and we have CFRU, which is the best. It's a community campus radio station and fueled by amazing people. Yeah, so I think it's really, really great, the community that we have here, and people such as yourself promoting music and accepting different music as well and playing it over the air. So it's really cool. We have a good thing going on, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And Kazoo Fest, like, oh, it's just, it's awesome. Because it's such a small community, too, everybody starts to know each other, but we can create a really, really good and strong network of folks. So that's
a
big
network
positive
for future musicians as well. Mm-hmm. There is a growing number of younger musicians, and I really enjoy how, especially Kazoo at CFRU, how we're trying to work with Girls Rock Camp to bring a much more welcoming environment for any young musicians who want to carry their voice in the community. That's mm-hmm. what's really special about Guelph as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't you two work for the Girls Rock Camp?
Yes. Yeah. So we're both coordinators and teachers at Girls Rock Camp, and it's a wonderful organization that is. It provides a safe and supportive space for young women and female-identifying trans and gender non-conforming youth to start a band, to learn an instrument, and
be silly.
Silly, be themselves. It's so great.
Yeah, it's fun when you give somebody, especially an instrument, because no matter what you do, it's going to make some sort of sound, and that's a feedback loop, and you go, oh, okay. It's mm-hmm. almost as though that instrument listened to you because you did something to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool to see what happens. And the songwriting's great.
Yeah.
Kids write a song in a day, and they go, oh, okay, let's just write another song. It wasn't as good. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, my God.
And it's honest, too.
It's honest, yeah.
There's such honest lyrics. They're so silly, too.
Love it.
Girls Rock Camp is awesome.
Yeah. I learn a lot every year, too, so...
Yeah, that's pretty, it's really awesome. Why don't we go into a bit of the music you guys do? As Eleni's Dead is pretty much like a concept album. Is that okay to say?
Yeah,
of course. Thank you.
You want to talk about that? Because there's a big backstory that I would like to know, like get more clarification on.
Yeah, of course. So, Azzolini's Dead is based on an Italian folk tale, and it's also based on sort of factual folks. So, our family's from this small town called San Zanone and in Veneto, in Treviso, in Italy, so northern Italy. And there was a tyrant in medieval times that sort of controlled San Zanone, and their name was Ezzelino da Romano.
Ezzelino da Romano, the third.
Emma's far better at pronouncing anything in Italian than I am, so I'm pretty bad. I'm pretty bad at it.
You're okay. A lot of songs and sometimes artists, I'm not good with pronunciations. You're not alone.
Thank you. I mean, if my Nona was listening to me pronouncing this, I would be...
She'd be shaking
she'd
her
be
head.
Very, yeah, she'd be very... She'd be like, Sarah, no. No, Sarah, Sarah, no. Yeah, no, no, no. That's not how you pronounce. And so, anyways. So, the album is based on this tyrant and how this tyrant was known to be a cannibal, and they would pick peasants out and eat them, and it's freaky. And there's a connection from our sort of conceptual interpretation. There's a connection between San Zanone and Guelph. San Zanone, or Treviso, the region that San Zanone is in, we are sister cities with Treviso. So Guelph and Treviso are very, very alike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. At one point there were more Italians in Guelph, like per capita, than any other kind of city in the world in the 80s.
Aside from Italy,
thank you. So it's kind of wild, this connection between Treviso and Sanzanone and Guelph. And Ezzelino was part of a medieval group, and I can't remember. Actually, Emma, why don't you talk about this group?
Oh, so you had the Guelphites and you had the Ghibellines, and Ezzelino da Romano was part of the Ghibellines. The Ghibellines were Germanic, and they would take over land, and they had their own sort of laws. The Guelphites, or the Guelphlidians, sorry, they were a papal kind of culture, so anything that went... I guess laws were laws abided by whatever the Pope would say. So as these two societies started to converge, you would have obviously a lot of civil unrest. You would have a lot of dominance and fight for land in order to obtain dominance. And so I keep questioning, what is that tyranny looking like? And I guess the idea of having somebody consume another person is another way of showing dominance. Mm. So yeah, that's the little backstory of the Guelphlidians, or the Guelphites and the Ghibellines.
I think they were called the Guelphlidians.
Guelphlidians.
Yes, the Guelphlidians.
Oh, my history.
Yeah. And Guelph is in the... From the Italian definition, Guelph is a medieval royal collective, which is kind of wild. So there's this, I find that there's all these connections between Sanzanone and Ezzelino and Guelph. And a lot of people are like, oh, the royal city is the royal city because the queen was here and dubbed it as the royal city. But I think there's this underlying sort of dynamic, perhaps this power dynamic, and Guelph is, in fact, the definition of a medieval royal collective. It's kind of wild. There's a bunch of tunnels, too, underneath Sanzanone that lead to this pivotal church in the town.
The Red Church.
And it was sort of known that peasants would use the tunnels to sort of escape Ezzelino. And then, of course, in Guelph, there's all these secret tunnels underneath our city leading to the Church of Our Lady. So...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had heard that there was supposed to be tunnels underneath the university, but I've never seen any of that when I was at the university.
Looks like we have to dig for some tunnels then.
Yeah. I think it's time to start
digging.
To start digging tunnels.
Yeah, so we kind of took all these ideas and try to create and show our own folktale from how we kind of saw it as well, because we had this horror story that our grandparents would just nonchalantly tell us, and we thought, oh my god, this is so close to Guelph, right? And of course, in like a kid's mind, you just think, whoa,
yeah,
this is real. Yeah, but of course, how do you consume somebody today? Of course, there are clearly some people who have obviously looked into cannibalism and perform it, but what's it like if you were to consume somebody else, and how do you consume somebody else to obtain dominance these days? So we looked at this story from the angle of social media and the way that we communicate with ourselves. How do we extend ourselves? How do we feed each other with the stories that we tell? And our eyes, we intake information so quickly. We're all, if you can read, you can begin to read very quickly as well. So what are these stories we're intaking and the stories that we're feeding to other people? How does that display dominance, and how does that also shift dominance as well? So that's all of Ezzelino's Dead. And the nice part of Ezzelino's Dead is, okay, it's the dead of Ezzelino, of Sanzanone degli Ezzelini. So, yeah.
That is like a great description. I never thought about it because I was wondering that there had to be like a contemporary angle you guys were going with it, and it's a great record, I should say.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I think I've played all the tracks on the show.
Thank you very much.
Maybe a few more questions.
Yeah,
sure.
From the set, I saw Emma, you started off with the I should start off saying you look like a total rock star up there.
Thanks.
And you had, like, the violin bow.
Yep.
And all your pedals laid out.
Yep.
Is there a lot, in hearing a lot of it from your set, is there a lot of experimentation and improvisation that you guys include in your music?
Not so much these days. It depends on the type of set that we want to give. And since there was a deadline of sound that we had, and we had a concrete set list, then the level in which you're able to improvise, I think, goes down a little bit. And I don't know, you just kind of want to be tight, right? Especially for a performance like this. So I guess, what did I improvise on? I improvised on a solo in Meet and Greet. And I usually improvised on our last song too, which is called Have You Seen Her. But I still have the same guidelines as to how I produce the tones. It's just a matter of when, that's all.
One last thing to bring up. You guys are working on a new record?
Yes.
I guess
yes.
Would it be your full length? Or?
I guess so, yeah.
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 Is this going to be similar to Azzolini's Dead? Or
kind of?
A different direction?
Yeah, like we're still playing around with the idea of cannibalism. But cannibalism
not
in the sense
yet.
Of... obviously not the literal definition or form of cannibalism, but also kind of like more of sort of the shock factor of like, oh my gosh, it's cannibalism. But we're really exploring how it's a communication technique, how we can consume each other really through the vast amounts of media that we're watching, that we're reading. And so this new record is sort of a collage, a combination of stories of women from our perspective, our stories as women. It's a combination of this sort of cannibalistic way of communicating. And we're taking some themes and concepts from a play called Out at Sea. It's a post-World War II play by a playwright, Slavomir Mrozek, and it's really, really an amazing absurdist comedy about these three men on a raft, and they have to decide who to eat. And so that's sort of what we're working on right now. So we're slowly recording it ourselves, and it will be released hopefully early next year.
Yeah.
That's exciting news, and can't wait to hear you guys, your new music.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Emma, Sarah, thank you for coming on the SMK and
thanks
talking.
Thanks for
with
having
me.
Us.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, we'll definitely talk again soon.
Thank you.
And I hope you guys continue to have a good hillside.
You too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on the show.
You're welcome.
I almost forgot that it was community radio, so let one slip, so I'm very sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I think we can forgive you once.
I hope so. I'll email
CRTC.
CRTC and just like beg for forgiveness, yeah. And I'm sure everything will be fine. So thank you very much for having us on.
Yeah, thank you again.
Thanks.
I think we're going to be taking a PSA break.
Ooh.
And then we'll get back for another half hour of the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope.
Awesome.